check one too. Good morning. How is everyone?
Fine. Good.
Made it through the storm. You dug out. I did just barely. I think I have a new snowplow guy, and I think he forgot about me. And so I was there for a while, and I finally called him, and I said, you know, I know it's a busy day. He's a fireman. And I said, you can just dig me out sometime before tomorrow morning would be great so that I can get to work. And he's like, no, I can get there in 30 minutes. And I'm like, okay. And so he dug me out, so that was good. Caesar was here. He's been cooped up for a couple of days, and so he needs you, yes. So if you want to feed him a treat, there's a treat bucket up here, and you're welcome to do that. You need a treat? Need a treat. Okay. I am going to give Heidi this because he also is very addicted to this only because of the little light. So anyway, welcome to Union Congregational Church, where no matter who you are, where you are in your life's journey, you are welcome here. We have a few announcements. If you can't hear me, we have hearing devices in the back that you can plug that in your ear, and you will be able to hear me better. And then also, if you have a change of address, or if you're new here and you want to keep involvement or wanting our newsletters or anything like that, please fill out one of these and drop it in the offering plate when it comes around. And then also on the back, later on in the service, we have prayer requests. And sometimes prayer requests are more personal and you don't want to say them out loud to everybody. So we have this on the back of the form. So if you have a prayer request that is more personal, please write that on there and then fold it up and put that in the offering plate as well. Are there any other announcements?
I just want to mention that there's going to be a tech class tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Hang on,
Tech class, 1 o'clock at the hub tomorrow. I'm saying that so that it gets on the recording.
About your phone and your computer.
About questions about your phone, questions about your computer. Right, 11 o'clock today after the service, after we have coffee, we have our first class on a Sunday called Pneuma. And today's topic, it's called Store, which is about dealing with your anger and how we deal with anger. It's not anger management, it's just a discussion about anger. And last Wednesday we had this one, and I think it went well. There was 4 people that came there, including a high school student, which was kind of fun to get his perspective on how he deals with anger. And we'll go from there.
I wanted to point out on the events page in our bulletin, we're going to have a Super Bowl Sunday. We're going to try this. I've been thinking about doing this for several years. We'll have soup and then watch the game on the big screen downstairs. And so we'll gather at 4:30 because I double-checked and kickoff time is 5:30 Central Time. And so we can, everybody bring a snack and we'll have soup provided. And I have 2 soups already, maybe 1 more would be good. So if anybody would like to volunteer to bring a soup, just let me know later.
When is that cooking?
Pardon me? February 2nd. February 2nd.
And it's going to be the Packers.
It's in 2 weeks. It's going to be the Packers against
the Chiefs.
Kansas City. So yes. We'll have Mary's side and we'll have Tori's side. And
yeah. Joni.
I just need to announce that next Sunday, for just a few minutes following our service, while you're still in your place, we will have our semi-annual budget meeting. And it will be very quick, but you can ask questions, and we will see what our finances are for the coming year and how we're doing. So please try to be here next week, and it'll just take a few minutes after the service. So semi-annual meeting for budget next Sunday.
Mm-hmm. I have a favor to ask anybody who has a key to the office. The office might be open, I don't know. I forgot to put the camera out for the video camera. It is on the counter. And I have to warn you guys, this is going to be kind of an awkward day, but I think it'll be kind of relaxed and fun. Cheryl isn't here, and so I'm going to try to do music. And I have to tell you, I've practiced the music more than I practice the sermon. And I get more nervous doing music than I do giving a sermon. So, if you could help sing that, it'd be awesome. We do have words, but we're getting the camera. And she has the clicker. Oh, no, the clicker is right there. Get the clicker. And on the side, you should see a little bit of green. That means it's on. Is it on? No, that's Caesar's, that's Caesar's light. Here, there's an arrow. There you go. Okay. I'd like to teach you a song as a call to worship today. And the first part goes like this. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord will be praised. That's the first part. Now we do it again, but it's sung a little bit differently. Okay? So why don't you do that first part with me? Okay? From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord will be praised. And the second part is a little bit different. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord will be praised. Think you got the first and second part? Okay, let's try that together. We're going to sing both of them. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord will be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord will be praised. Now here's the chorus. So that's on the next slide. You got to push a button. That's too far. Too far. Go the other way. There we go. So praise ye the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord will be praised. Yes, the name of the Lord will be praised. You guys did pretty good. Yeah. Well, great. Let us take some time to quiet our hearts and our minds and prepare ourselves for worship today. Join me in prayer. God of love and grace, we acknowledge you in this space this morning, knowing you were already here before any of us entered. We come today to praise and worship you. Be with us as we continue to learn how to love you and love others better. Amen. Last winter, we did a song called Gather. And it was over the CD or a video. And the guy played it incredibly well because he wrote it. But also, at the end, it just went on and on and on and on, and nobody really knew where to stop. And so I have been determined to learn it. And hopefully it goes okay. And hopefully it's in a really good key. And if you don't remember it, okay. Okay, I'm going to tell you not to do the light during the service because he is going to totally tackle somebody while they're seated. But the chorus, I'm going to have you flip one more. Yeah. If you remember the chorus, it goes, and I need, well, it goes, I need you, you need me, this is why we gather, this is why we gather, to remember why we matter, oh, this is why we gather. Does that sound familiar? Do I have it kind of right? Let's go back to the first one. To be known, to feel safe, to be honest and unafraid, to leave the past, run into hope, to find together we are not alone. I need you. You need me. This is why we gather. This is why we gather, to remember why we matter. This is why we gather, to share our story, silence the noise, to hear the wisdom of the trembling of a voice, to carry healing for all the scars, to know we're more than our broken hearts. And I need you. You need me. This is why we gather. This is why we gather, to remember why we matter. This is why we gather. When we help each other, fight the fear, be present with one another, we will find that's where the life of God is lived. To give courage, to hear it now, we are beloved, this is holy ground. And I need you. You need me. This is why we gather. This is why we gather, to remember why we matter. This is why we gather. This is why we gather. This is why we gather. Shorter ending, huh? I'm going to have you stand, please. The peace of God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet our friends and neighbors with what?
No hands today. Too much flu.
Too much flu. We're doing elbows today. And then I will, let's make sure that we have some hand sanitizer available. Hi, elbowing. Well, thank you. Did we find the video camera? Yes, please. Can we hit the, let's do the Sing the Glory. Sing to the glory. Sing to the glory. Redeems us, sing to the glory of the Holy Spirit, who sustains and comforts us, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. You may be seated. Did we find the video camera?
No, I couldn't. It wasn't on the counter, under the mailboxes. And I peeked in your room and I didn't know about it.
Okay, Don will read the scripture and I will go find the video camera. Don't do the sermon without me.
The scripture this morning is is from 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. Now you have observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and my sufferings, the things that happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Indeed, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But wicked people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving others and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work.
Amen. Thank you. The reason we do this is we put it on YouTube, and then it goes on our Facebook, not our Facebook, on our website. And I know that there are several people who watch it or download it. And so if they can't be at church, they can go on the website and at least watch the sermon. And am I lined up okay?
Yeah.
All right. And I love, there's my sermon. I have so many papers up here. Several months ago, I did a sermon on the Bible, on what it is and what it isn't. And I had some good feedback on it, and many people resonated with some of the points that were made. And so there have been a couple of people who have asked me questions about why I use the Bible so much in my sermons, and why do I rely on that one source all the time. And so I thought that it would be interesting to maybe do a series, a small series about why the Bible. What is it? What is it not? And how do we use it in this day and age, knowing that it's such an ancient book? And so today I want to do a few things. I want to revisit the sermon from a few months ago. So some of the things that you hear this morning might sound a little bit familiar. And I want to use today's sermon as a jumping off point of a short series that we're going to do, and see where that all connects and use the Bible and how we can use the Bible to connect better with God and why I use it so much. And number two, I want to give a reason for why I use the Bible. Well, that's what I just said. Do you realize what I said earlier? I've practiced the music more than my sermon, and now I'm going to be reading things over and over again. All right. With that said, I realized that we're a really diverse congregation in what we believe and what we think. And when it comes to Jesus and overall beliefs about God, we're very different. And my intention today is not to cause division and not to start arguments of any kind, but to trigger respectful discussion. It's okay if you don't agree with me, and it's okay if you disagree with each other. What is important is that we respect one another's viewpoints, whatever viewpoint that we have. And I hope that we can all agree on that before we dive into this series. Is that everybody's in agreement with that? No fighting, no punching, no biting. Shucks. Yeah, save that for the Super Bowl. Now, I want to start by saying that I understand that many people relate to God through different lenses. Some people relate to God through nature. Some relate through Native American practices. Some through Jewish or Muslim rituals or beliefs. I, as a Christian, see God through the lens of Jesus Christ. And the United Church of Christ relates to God through the lens of Christ. And the UCC, again, sees Jesus as the head of the church. And with this in mind, the next question is, where do we find examples and stories and knowledge of Jesus? If Jesus is what we're going to base a lot of our beliefs on, then where do we find that information? And guess where that is? The Bible. That is the resource of what the church uses to base its beliefs on. And when I mention the word Bible, I'm sure that there's all kinds of responses that are triggered within inside of us and reactions from people that are sitting here. Some might be curious and want to know more about what is inside of it, the stories, the purpose, the history of it, and maybe you have grown up knowing the content of it, but you want to know more about this God-breathed book. Others might feel like this Bible has caused a lot of suffering in this world and has done a lot of damage to humanity. People have used it to justify racial prejudice and slavery, human rights, women's rights. It has been used to justify cruelty to those in the LGBT community and the Native American community and our other brothers and sisters in the human race. Others may think that it's just a bunch of fables, just a bunch of stories that were gathered together by an ancient people. It's nice literature. And that's about it. Wherever you are at with your belief about what the Bible is, it's okay. As I said earlier, there might be parts of this sermon that you agree with and parts that you don't agree with, and that is okay. You don't have to agree with me, and I don't think anybody sitting here in this place agrees 100% theologically with the person sitting next to them. That would be weird, I think, if everybody was believing the same thing and everybody, it was like a cookie cutter faith. I think that would be weird, in my opinion. My thinking is, if we disagree, it's going to make a really great discussion for coffee time. And also know that today is not about me trying to persuade you to read the Bible more or ponder my theological perspective in your head. That is not my point today. So anybody who is like getting really tense now, saying, oh, she's going to make us read the Bible more. Relax, I'm not going to. But the first thing we need to start in digging into what the Bible is and what the Bible isn't, I think we need to recognize, going back to what I said earlier, is that the Bible has been used to hurt people and damage people. The Bible has been used to justify slavery and oppress women and drawn ethnic lines that result in some people being included and others being excluded. It's been used to start wars, justify wars, and kill millions of people, all in the name of God. And I don't think God ever intended this book to be used to abuse people. But it has been used by humanity to do just that. And we need to recognize that before we go any further. We need to recognize and not ignore the damage that it has done to people and families and people groups. But this book, this Bible, is what we read from every single Sunday. When we come here to worship, that's what we read. We study it on Monday mornings during Bible study. It's where our church and our denomination and the Christian faith itself is based, our beliefs and our understanding and our theology about who we believe God to be. It is our foundation to everything that we do around here. And it seems uncomfortable to think about it. A book that has caused so much hurt and damage can be something of our foundational belief system. But here's my question, and I think it's an important question. Can we maybe learn, or maybe unlearn and relearn, how to read this book in such a way that we can bring hope and healing to people? Can we read it in such a way that we can bring justice and not hurt anybody anymore? So today, I want to take a closer look at this book called the Bible and explore what it is not. And I have to say, I did try to do what it is not and what it is, but it was going like on 17 pages of, and that's like a half hour sermon. Didn't think you guys want that. So I broke it up into two parts. And today we're going to just do what the Bible is not. And then next week we'll do what it is. So here's a disclaimer. The material that I have used is not necessarily everything that came out of my head. Some of it is from Highlands Church in Denver, Colorado, on a series done with Mark Miller and Jenny Morgan. Other material from this came from a professor from Harvard. He wrote a few books. His name is Peter Ines. He wrote The Bible Tells Me So, which exploded my head. And then he has also written, it's the book that I just read. I forget that one, but that one was good too. And then also some Rob Bell material that a lot of our Pneuma stuff is Rob Bell. And so, I've been reading a lot. So let's get started on what the Bible is not. And there's going to be something up here. Okay. Number one, I need you. There's going to be four things that go up there, Sue. Oh, you're on it. Okay. And if I'll move so that you can actually see it maybe a little bit. Okay. And do I need to move that way? All right. The Bible is not dictation. God did not stand over the shoulders of these authors and whisper into their ear, okay, here's what I really want you to say, write this down. It wasn't like that. These authors were people with different perspectives and different personalities and reasons for writing. And we've seen that a little bit as we've gone through the Christmas story. We've seen the different versions of Matthew's Christmas story and Luke's Christmas story and how different they were. And it was because they had different reasons for writing and different personalities. And they were writing to different people. Luke was writing to, he was really concerned about the outcasts of society, those who were marginalized. Matthew was more concerned with writing to the Jewish people and saying Jesus really is the Messiah. So two totally different reasons for writing, but yet both of them had their own perspective of what the Christmas story is. And so the common thread here is that all of these books that were included in the Bible, whether it be Luke or Matthew, there is a common thread that says God cares and loves people and God communicates with his creation. And how does he do this? It's through people. It's through his children. And God loves to have his children tell the story from their perspective and through their words. My sister, have you ever listened to a child tell a story, like a little kid? My sister did a lot of this when her kids were growing up, and she would say, "Hey, Aaron, tell Tori about what you did today." And so Aaron would be, you know, maybe 5 or something like that, and he would say, "Okay, we went to the zoo, and there is this big bear, and he was really big, and he was brown, and he was eating a fish, and then it was a gross fish. He tore the head off of it, and then we saw a snake, and it was big too, and he ate a mouse." And you don't quite get the entire story, but the child tells you what he thinks is important. From his perspective and from his experience, he tells his version of the story. And God does the same thing. God allows his children to tell their story. And the Bible is not dictation. Number 2, the Bible is not a textbook or an instruction manual. In high school, someone once told me that the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, stood for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. For those who have been told that, I'm sorry to say that's not true. The Bible is not an instruction manual. Some people try to use the Bible as some type of textbook. Some use it specifically in Genesis as a science book or a textbook trying to figure out how God created the world and how many days it took and the real life of the earth. And that's not the point of Genesis. And Genesis is not to prove science. It's a story of God loving his people through messiness. People also use it as an instruction manual by taking a situation and interpreting it literally without taking it into consideration the culture and the time that these ancient people lived. They just read it and said, "Okay, that's what happened, and that's what we should do too." And that's dangerous because we live 2,000, depending what part of the Bible you're reading, thousands of years apart from this ancient culture. And for us to do the same thing they do can be very dangerous. So it's not a textbook or an instruction manual. Number 3, this is my favorite one. The Bible is not a magic 8-ball. Remember magic 8-balls? I had one. They were like black balls, or about this big, and they had a little window in it, and it's full of liquid, and you would shake it, and you would ask, "Is my sister smelly?" Science point to yes. You'd shake it up again. "Will I get an A on my test? Outlook is not good." You know? And have you ever asked a question, and then, okay, because I'm guilty of this, I have to ask this. Have you ever asked God a question, and then just randomly open the Bible in faith? And then point to a random scripture and then say, "Okay, that's God's answer for me." Have you ever tried that? No? Oh my gosh. Okay. Now watch. This is going to be like the only time it works. This will be the only time it works. Okay, somebody give me a question. Nobody has any questions?
What's the most important thing you want us to do?
God, what do you want us to do? They set your sanctuary on fire. I kid you not, that's what I pointed to. Psalm 74, verse 7. They set your sanctuary on fire. They desecrated the dwelling place of your name. bringing it to the ground. Okay, let's light it up. God said, call the fire department. Go, Caesar, go. Good boy. So the Bible is not a magic eight ball. It does not behave very well when one seeks an answer to life's question, because what usually ends up happening is that you have 15 more questions on top of that. So the Bible is not a magic eight ball. And number four, it's not perfectly transmitted. There are thousands upon thousands of copies of manuscripts, whether they are pieces or wholes, and none are exactly alike in every detail. Most, 95 to 99% of it, differs. The differences are due to copying errors, such as skipping a line or reading a word wrong. But for the most part, they have incredible historical manuscripts that tell the story of an ancient people and Jesus' life. And it is surprisingly accurately translated, but it's not perfectly transmitted. So if the Bible is not dictated, it's not a textbook, or an instruction manual, it's not a magic eight ball, and it's not perfectly transmitted, then what is it? That's for next week. I want to believe the Bible is holy and perfect and clear, but when we read it, we realize that it isn't. There's so many questions that we have. So how do we read this ancient book? Next week, we're going to explore what the Bible is. And my hope in the next few weeks is to learn to see and use the Bible in the way that won't hurt people, but yet will heal people. The world is full of abuse and injustice. The Bible is still used to hurt people and exclude people and guilt people, and we should be concerned about this. And it matters to God how human beings treat one another. It matters. My friends at Union Congregational, may we be the kind of people who see God through the lens of Jesus Christ in a way that will bring hope to people who are hopeless in this world. And may we learn to use Scripture to heal rather than abuse people who are seeking love and seeking acceptance. Amen? Amen. 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 Glad this wasn't a half hour long. Who cares? Okay, we're going to go then.
I love what you're saying.
Good, good. Well, let's sing. Come, O fount of every blessing. And I'm going to move back over here. And we're going to remain seated, I think, because if we stand up, we can't see the screen very well. Is that okay if you stay seated?
Yep.
Unless you got to stretch your legs, feel free to stretch your legs if you need to. I know sometimes I need to. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of endless praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy unfailing love. Here I praise in my soul journey,
giving thanks for having come. Come to trust at every turning, guide will guide me safely home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. Come to rescue me from danger, blessed body, precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I am drawn anew. Let that grace now like a fetter bind my wandering heart to you. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, wander from the love I've known. Hear my heart, oh, take and seal it, seal it for your very own. Sing that last line again. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy very own.
Amen. Let us take some time to share our prayer requests and our praises, our joys and our concerns. And we have a mic coming around.
Little update. Lois, who had asked for prayers for her grandson, Joshua. Joshua is out of the coma they put him in to stop the seizures, finally, and is in rehab. There's definitely some problems with speech and physical. He was out for quite a while, but he's in rehab and doing better, and the prognosis is hopefully good. So please keep him in your prayers for recovery. And she called me yesterday and added one more. Her sister has cancer, just diagnosed, but it is a uterine stage 1, and with a hysterectomy, which is scheduled, should be okay. But she asked for prayers also for her sister, Carolyn.
Carolyn?
Yep, so praises and joy for Joshua on the road to recovery and for a successful surgery for Carolyn.
Well, as you know, Joni's hobbling around, and it all started when she sat on her haunches and a cord or a ligament or something kind of snapped, and there's no bone damage or anything, and tomorrow she sees the doctor, and we'll find out what's the next step, so please pray for good results.
Yes. Is that your ankle? Or is it knee? You probably did. I just didn't catch it.
I want to thank all of you for the prayers that you've always offered a lot of my family. And it amazes me. Every time Kevin leaves here and goes to California and comes back, he really has good weather and doesn't have any problems at all. You know, and the man that takes the second week's run just has trouble with the trucks and the snow and, you know, everything like that. So thank you for your prayers.
Are we going to have to start praying for the other guy?
Yes. Austin, and he's like 21 years old. He's learning
guy.
A lot.
What's the other guy's name?
Austin.
Austin. We're praying for Austin.
Yeah. And Kevin.
And Kevin.
A little after Christmas, a card came in from Don and Dolly, and she just, to our church family, wishing you a very merry and blessed Christmas. Don and I also want to thank all of you who sent prayers cards for Dick's passing. We are trying to adjust to life without Dickie. It's sure is hard. We miss him. And then best to all.
Yeah, that was a great card to receive. And they're adjusting. I actually talked with her on the phone just a few days ago. They have lined up Dick's memorial for July 18th. They wanted to save that date. And so July 18th at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, they'll do a service here at the church, and I believe they made arrangements for Dick to be, to his ashes to be up here. So, we have one more.
I don't know if I should talk about this right now, but with your sermon, before Michael, it was Arden Johnson was the minister here, and some of you still remember Arden. And so every Memorial Day, we would go camping with them up at Big Falls. And so I was having a discussion with his wife, Mary, about something I had read in the Bible, and it really disturbed me. And her response was, "So men wrote the Bible. When have you ever known them to get the story quite exactly?" So she said, take the basic concept and make your own decisions.
Mm-hmm. All the women in the room are like, yes, and all the guys are like, hey.
Women do have books in the Bible about them.
They do, they do. There's Ruth, and then there's Esther. Yeah. Yeah, and who knows, you know, one professor said, you know, women back then weren't technically allowed to write the Bible, but there was a lot of people use pseudonames, and they're like, maybe a woman did write one of the books under a male name, and who knows, and so I thought that was interesting. So, another perspective of somebody, yep. Any other prayer requests? Okay, let's go to God. Oh, one more?
Well, I don't have a prayer request, but you talking about the Bible makes me think of when we left California to come back here, they gave us a snow shovel, and then the minister said, you know, Bonnie and Duane don't always read the Bible like I think they should. They don't always come to church like I think they should. But in my book, they're real Christians, and that's the way I feel about all of you. In yeah. my book, you're real Christians.
Yeah. Whew, good, thanks, Bonnie. It could have been worse. It could have been worse, yes, it could.
She could have said most.
Most. Some of y'all, you know.
A few
of y'all. Let's go to God in prayer. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for being good, and thank you for being kind. And thank you for loving us through the good and the bad and the ugly of our lives. God, you are faithful to us, even when we are not faithful to you. And God, there are times where we don't treat you the way you should be treated, and we don't treat people the way that they should be treated or the way that you want us to treat them. And God, we ask forgiveness for not living up to what you want us to be and who you want us to be, and that is your children and your representative here on this earth. God, we know that you are faithful to forgive us and that you love us and accept us even when we do mess up, and we thank you. God, today we lift up prayer requests to you. We lift up Joshua. We thank you, first and foremost, that he is out of the coma, and that he is starting rehab, and he is relearning how to talk and relearning probably how to do a lot of things. But we are grateful that he is still here with us. Surround him with family, surround him with love, surround him with your presence, and continue to heal him. And we lift up Carolyn to you, Lois's sister, as she was just diagnosed with cancer. We pray that the surgery goes well, and we pray that the cancer would be gone after that. God be with her as well. God, we also pray for Joni as she's figuring out what's going on with her knee. We ask that you give the doctor wisdom and knowledge about how to treat her so that she can be healed. And God, we pray for Kevin as he is on the road, and continue to protect him as you always do and always have. And we also pray for Austin. We pray for his safety. We pray that when he gets into predicaments, that you give him the knowledge and the wisdom to know what to do in those situations when he gets stuck or when the truck breaks down. God, he's so young, and we just pray that you are with him and let him know and feel your presence and keep him safe. And God, we continue to pray for Dolly and Don in the passing of their brother. And God, we know that Dick is with you. And we know that there is a peace that comes in knowing that he is with you. But there's just such a hard adjustment here on this earth without him. And we ask that you give Dolly and Don a special knowledge of peace, and help them learn or relearn how to live without their brother here on earth. God, we pray for this upcoming week in our nation. God, we ask that you give wisdom, again, wisdom, and knowledge and strength for those in our leadership. And God, I don't know what the outcome will be, but you do. And I just ask that your will be done with our nation. And God, we come together in unity, praying the prayer that your Son Jesus has taught us to pray, in saying, "Our God in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Will the ushers please come forward for this morning's offering? Okay. As they are passing the plate, can we sing the first verse of Amazing Grace together, just a cappella?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Let us stand and sing the doxology.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God, all creatures
here below. Praise God for all that love has done. Creator Christ and Spirit one. Amen.
We're going to skip that last song, and we're just going to do the benediction, if that's okay. May God the Creator go with you. May Christ shine upon you. And may the Holy Spirit guide you in all that you do. Amen. Oh,
We're going to do, can we close with the rising of the sun? I know that we usually do. Did now you do that, huh? From the rising of the sun. That part, the rock song? Gather? All right. Let's sing this as a closing song. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord will be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord will be praised. So praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. From the of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord will be praised. That last line again. Yes, the name of the Lord will be praised. Go in peace.